Judith Collins is the leader of the opposition, the National Party. She's with us today. Thanks for joining us, Judith. Tēnā koe.
Well, kia ora, Dale.
It's the signing of the 1835 Declaration of Independence. What's been your thinking over the years, Judith, about this document?
Well, it wasn't something we learnt about at school when I was at school, Dale. And I think what is interesting with it is that we still, obviously now we have far more knowledge about it, but also I think right at the moment, I guess the number one thing on people's mind is how to get ourselves independent from COVID right at the moment. But look, I think, you know, we've seen a whole renaissance in Te Reo, we've seen a renaissance in culture, Māori culture, we've seen entirely different way of thinking and accepting obviously a Māori view of life than what we did 20, 30 years ago.
Thanks. Can we talk a little about the Three Waters? I just had a yarn with Phil Goff about it. Obviously, there's some opposition to the way it's been almost rammed down the throats of councils. He says the water quality here is good. That the issue regarding Māori and water rights, etc., is one that's being overseen by the Waitangi Tribunal. But the government's announced that it's proceeding with its Three Waters reform despite opposition from local councils. Do you think that's wise?
I don't think it's wise at all. The point is, with the government went out with its plan and said it was going to consult with councils, that councils would be right to think that they'd be expecting to actually have their voices listened to. So what we've got at the moment, we've got 60 out of 67 councils have come out against the Three Waters changes that the government is ramming through. And that doesn't sound to me like they've listened to the consultation. What they have done, though, is that they've spent a lot of money consulting, a lot of money trying to bribe councils. And what I don't think there's too many people who seriously think that water quality is going to be better if it's run from Wellington. It's also an absolute insult when Phil Goff's complaining about it, a former leader of the Labour Party, when Leanne Dalziel's out against it, a former senior minister in the Labour Party. You can see this is a certainly not just on political grounds. This is basically a takeover of local and a centralisation into four different entities that seem to have very little relationship to each other, including the top half of South Island nominally becoming part of the North Island for the purposes of water. It's just simply ridiculous.
You've said that you would repeal the legislation anyway if you had the reins of power, but already by then plenty of dough would have been spent at a time that we need it badly. We're already taking on enormous intergenerational debt. What do you think?
Yep. Well, we just can't keep going down this path, and we're setting that very clear stake in the ground. Proceed at your own risk, basically, to the government. And when they've lost their Labour mayors, they've lost pretty much the support of the country on it. There's no reason for them to be doing this. What they use as an excuse, the four people who died in Havelock North, what was that, about 5 years ago, 6 years ago? That is ridiculous to equate what happened with sheep poo basically getting into water with the whole of the country. And as Phil Goff will be absolutely rightly outraged, water care, quality of water is extraordinarily good in Auckland. And the only issue we had last year was the issue around the fact that water, we don't have enough dams in Auckland, and we really sort of can't because of our urban nature, our metropolitan nature, and the fact that we couldn't get the Waikato River Authority to actually allow more water to be taken out of the Waikato. So, you know, that's not a fault of water care.
Thanks. Can we look at the COVID situation? Still hard to get to a lot of our people who are distrustful of the health system, perhaps distrustful of governments, irrespective of which party's in power. What do you make of where we're at with the COVID chase, if I could call it that?
Well, it's just extraordinary it was left so late in the year. We only had, as you know, 20% of people double vaccinated at the start of this lockdown. It's extraordinarily bad. And as you're rightly saying, it's particularly within Māoridom that those numbers are down, and especially around these the far north areas, the Tairāwhiti area, Taranaki areas. And that's why Dr. Shane Reti is out today vaccinating, as he has been most of this month. It's really important that he's going out into places, sends me photos about every day of where he is and some of the places he's in. I have never even heard of them, Dale. So in the middle of nowhere. And as you're saying, you've got to take some, for some people, you've got to take the vaccine to them, and sometimes it's got to be somebody who looks and is trusted, looks like people and is trusted by them. If their only experience of the health system to date hasn't been excellent, it's going to take people like Dr. Shane to do that.
And finally, the bipartisan announcement regarding housing and an ability to up the ante and indeed up the height of whare in our main centres. NIMBYs obviously were a bit anxious by it. It was unusual to see a bipartisan approach like this, but do you think it will result in more of our people Māori getting into their own homes?
Well, why not? It should do. The more houses we get built, the more people have opportunities to buy those houses, and I think that there will be more. I'm absolutely, completely committed to us as a property-owning democracy where people, all people should be able to at least aspire to and have real hope for and to be able to save for and get into their own homes. We can't keep down this path of having people living in motels and kids growing up like that. It's an extraordinarily bad situation. It's only ever supposed to be temporary. And now we've got something like 25,000 families on the State House waiting list. It's an absolute crisis. And look, when we look at public transport and cities around the world where there's high density, what we often have is really high, good public transport. People live in Manhattan and New York or the very nice parts in London. They're all in high-density areas. And, you know, three stories is significantly less intrusive than 20 stories.
All the best. Thanks very much, Judith. We look forward to our next conversation. The best until then.
Okay. Kia ora.
Kia ora. Kia ora.